Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. This is Friday, March 24, 2023, and this is episode number 96. As always, thanks to my buddy Ron Trammell for our guitar-picking intro music. It is a sunny and warm morning here in Nashville with strong storms expected later in the day. Let's hope everyone stays safe. In today's episode, we visit again with our old friend Kathleen Williams. Kathleen last visited with us in June of 2017. At that time, she had been awarded Conservationist of the Year by the Tennessee Wildlife Federation. She was just then retiring from her position as an executive director of the Tennessee Parks and Greenways Foundation, an organization now called 10 Green. She founded that organization. She had previously been executive director of the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association. I would encourage listeners to go back and check out that old interview in our archives. You will learn that she has a long record of distinguished leadership in conservation in Tennessee. Today we talk with Kathleen about a new project she has taken upon herself, and that is the conservation of the Western Highland Rim woodlands of Western Davidson County. Several recent planning studies for Nashville have identified this area as in need of protection and conservation. Kathleen has decided that it is about time somebody gets to work on it. Because we are an audio-only podcast, listeners may benefit from having a map to look at while we talk about some of these places. Go to the internet and do an image search for geographic provinces of Tennessee. You will see that the Highland Rim consists of hilly and sometimes steep forested sections of western Davidson County. Radnor Lake State Park, Warner Park, Beeman Park, each are part of the Highland Rim. Kathleen's idea is to link these areas together so as to protect those forested areas. And so I hope you will listen and learn about what this project is all about and learn about how to get involved. And we will get started right after this brief message.
Hi, this is Heather Lose, Editor-in-Chief of the Tennessee Conservationist Magazine. Every year, we publish six beautiful issues packed full of timely and informative stories about Tennessee culture, people, and places. You can stay informed about your world and all the great things happening in your Tennessee state parks. It's easy to subscribe. Just go to our website at tnconservationist.org. Thank you.
Kathleen Williams, welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Kathleen, it's great to have you back. It's been 4 or 5 years since you were last here. You were one of the true pioneers in the Mark Fraley Podcast.
I'm honored. I'm glad I got to be first at that.
Well, it's I want to just refer my listeners to our previous podcast. Go on to the archives of the podcast, listeners, and go back to the very beginning of the Mark Fraley Podcast, and you'll see Kathleen's smiling face, her picture there, and we talk all about her history and her experiences with the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association and with the Tennessee Parks and Greenways Foundation, now called 10 Green. And we won't get into much of that today, but I certainly refer everyone back to that. But Kathleen comes to us today with a new project and a new idea, and I want to hear all about it. It has to do with the Highland Rim area in the Davidson County. So Kathleen, tell us just about what you're doing.
Well, I think about the time I came to see you before I was retired.
And just recently retired.
Just recently. That's and right. I've been completely retired for 5 years and after a 30-year career in land conservation. And early in my career, I got to work with Mark Fraley on passing the largest funding bill in Tennessee's history for land conservation and for local parks and wetlands and wildlife and water quality. And it's done amazing things for Tennessee. And I really intended to be fully retired. And then about January of this year, I got hooked in this very big project that found me, basically. And the mission is to conserve Nashville's Highland Rim Forest. linking Radnor, Warner Parks, Westmead, Bell's Bend, Beeman, and White's Creek, protecting our air, waters, wildlife, scenery, and our children's future. Right, that is the mission.
Oh, got it. Let's yeah, that's a big mission. Let's just step back just a second.
Sure.
And talk about Tennessee geography, geology, just for a second, so that people that may not be in Tennessee or familiar with Tennessee would understand what it is that we're talking about, the Highland Rim.
Well, I'm not a scientist or a geologist, but Nashville sits in a bowl in the Nashville Basin, and right. It is actually a physical feature on the land, and rising to about 1,100 feet above the bowl, the elevation's about 1,100 feet, is the Highland Rim.
Okay.
And it completely arcs around the west part of Nashville.
Right.
And when you think about the Highland Rim in Nashville, think Grand Forest. It is Nashville's Grand Forest. It frames every view in our city. Anytime you see blue hills, you're looking at the Highland Rim Forest. Well, and it starts at Radnor. That's a remnant of it. Mm-hmm. And it goes west to the river, to the Cumberland River.
Right.
And then across the river, Bell's Bend has forest in it. And, of course, that wonderful agricultural land and prairie land across the river where you can actually go to the natural Cumberland. And then it goes all the way up to the end of Davidson County and, of course, continues beyond Beeman Park and Marrowbone Lake in that part of Davidson County in the far northwest, which I think is the wildest, grandest part. But
the northwest part of Davidson
yes.
County. Yes.
And so it's a big ridge that slopes away and is dissected by valleys that surrounds, on the west, Nashville.
Right.
On the east, it's about a 45-minute drive to the main part of the Highland Rim in on the eastern side.
Just on the other side of Wilson County, I would guess.
Yes. Right. Uh-huh. Right. And actually, you can go all the way to Cookeville, and you're still in the Highland Rim. People think of that as the Cumberland, but the Cumberland adjoins it beyond that.
Okay.
So I, in my previous life, my previous paid gig, I worked at Cummins Falls, and that's on the Highland Rim,
that's
too.
Right. That's, okay. I would have put that in the plateau, but it's in the
Highland
Rim. Okay.
So it's that far to the east. But in Nashville, and this is what got me started, Mark, is I had an opportunity to give away a small grant to a group, and I thought, I've been thinking about the Highland Rim and how people don't really think about Radnor and Warner Parks being on the Highland Rim and Beeman Park, and I love them all. They're Nashville's playground. Everybody loves those most iconic parks. If you don't link them with conserved forest, which right now we have a pretty intact forest, if they're not permanently protected, then we'll start losing our biodiversity, our wildlife corridors. We'll start losing some of our pure water. And so the idea of linking all these things together also provides us with, protects us against climate change. Our heat island's going to spread if we lose those trees. And they're our natural air conditioning, and they're our air filter, our water filter, our lungs on the land. And so for all these reasons, they need to be conserved. And planners know this. It's in Nashville Next. It's in Plan to Play. It's in Nashville's Open Space Plan, Nashville Naturally, yet nobody's working on it.
Okay, so you've just mentioned three different planning documents that people need to pay attention to. So let's talk about those.
Sure.
Nashville Next is an overall land use plan for...
It's our general plan for the city.
Right,
so
right.
It's what planners and councilmen attend to when they are considering zoning changes or whatever. And this is a map of it. I know listeners can't see it.
Right.
But it shows, this map of the Highland Rim shows up in all these plans. And the Nashville Next plan, it's repeated throughout. And it was in their 2017 update that, yes, this is green infrastructure we want in Nashville.
Right. Listeners can go to the internet and look for that plan. And we're looking at a map that's called Open Space Vision. That's part of that plan. And, you know, like most of these documents, they do an inventory of the existing resource and try to talk about what would the appropriate uses of those lands would be.
And it shows up in every plan we've done, and the most important one's the Nashville's general plan, Nashville Next. Okay. And it's supposed to guide activity with city funds and for our city staff through 2040. And one of the seven primary elements of that plan is to champion the environment. And that is what we have to call on our next mayoral candidate, our next mayor, and our current mayor to embrace. Help us get this implemented. We need it for our future.
So, Kathleen, as you look at Davidson County, and we're looking at the western, northwest, and western part of Davidson County, a lot of that is in forest today.
Yes.
What do we know about the land ownership? Is it in large parcels? Is it in small parcels? Or do we even know?
I brought a map to show you. people love maps, and this is what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We only looked at land acreage and ownership over 5 acres on this map.
Okay.
And over 50 acres was a category I asked to highlight and show in bright yellow. And so there's a lot of opportunity in landowners that have more than 50 acres. And of course, that would be wonderful to start out trying to go for the biggest and the best parcels that are out there.
Right.
And so it's 1,704 parcels make up the corridor that would connect Radnor to Bemis.
Oh my goodness.
It's 47,000 acres.
Gracious.
Yes.
Now, is the idea that all of this needs to be acquired in fee simple title, or is it?
That's an excellent question, yeah. Because, of course, you know, it's 1,700 people who love their home and love this land and want to own it. But there's a tool called a conservation easement where landowners can donate the development rights and protect, we hope, a lot of the land in old growth. Mm-hmm. Because I think one of the most important things about the corridor is it is a carbon sink. A lot of the trees are old growth, mm-hmm. and they've been sitting there collecting carbon and storing it in soils and in the fungus that connects all these trees together underground. And what we want to do is keep that in the ground.
You know, the development has been limited in this part of Davidson County just because of the geography of it. It's often a steep and rocky areas that really aren't suitable for building subdivisions and such as that.
Yes, and that's why we still have an opportunity.
Right.
And that's what makes it grand. I hike over at Radnor, and I like that South Lake Trail because, the ridge is above mm-hmm. the South Lake. Mm-hmm. It's so steep. And, you know, unfortunately, people are figuring out how to build houses on top of that. And you can see a few at Radnor now, which just kills me because it feels, you know, mostly it feels wild still.
Right.
But yes, that's, you know, hopefully the steep slopes will keep a lot of development out and has made this even possible. And, you know, we need probably more protection from the city for protecting these steep slopes. But if you've ever watched any of those big machine programs on television, you know, they'll show these machines that can come in and just pluck out the biggest trees.
Yeah. Yep.
And people build roads on top of these ridges. And, you know, there's a terrible example of it right now on Old Hickory Boulevard headed towards Beeman. And they've got a water quality problem at Beeman Park now because somebody's clear cut and building roads and their mud's washing into the creek. And more of that's going to happen unless we set out to protect their watershed and set out to defend their boundaries against things like that.
So, to get
back to your question,
yes,
fee simple acquisition should occur next to Bemis, in my opinion, because there's a lot of things that could damage the park. I know one of your favorite topics and something that we share is
right.
a fear of exotic invasive plants.
Right.
They've got too many neighbors at Bemis. And there's a real logical dividing line, and they're not securing the land that's around the park. I love that park, and they've got a wonderful park director, Heather Gallagher. If you don't know her, she's fabulous. But I looked at a map of the park with her recently, and there's a lot of private landowners. It's surrounded, and there's a logical defensible boundary. I remember when you were state park director, you spent some time talking about defensible boundaries. We need those for our parks.
Right, right.
And then we need privately owned forests and conservation easements to make them function like a forest in 50 years.
So how are we getting organized to do this, Kathleen? Tell us about that. I mean, you've come out of a history of building new organizations. Are we creating a new not-for-profit? Are we just doing this on an ad hoc basis, or do we have an organization that is going to lead the charge?
We don't. That is a problem,
okay.
And I'm seeking a solution.
Okay.
You know, we've got, of course, the city. And so I've been doing a series of meetings with city officials, city planners, and then we've got lots of nonprofits who do great work. There's not one focused on just the Highland Rim. I'm hoping that this can solve that, because there's so many people to contact and so much to do, and it's going to take some sizable contributions from the city, no doubt about it. Money, we're going to have to. But, you know, I think about that, and I think, man, the convention center cost $500 million. And if we end up spending $80 or $100 million here, and it provides a sustainable place for our grandchildren, it's money well spent.
Right.
So I just, and also I want to point out, Mark, this map here, I'm sorry you can't see the maps, but you can go on a website called iCreek if you want to find this. And look at the clean streams and the dirty streams in Nashville. And this is the Cumberland River watershed in Davidson County. The reason it doesn't match the county borders is because the Harpeth drains part of our county,
our
watershed. But all the red streams are in the north, east, and south.
Those are the dirty streams.
And look, they're all dirty practically.
Right, right.
The blue streams that are still clean are all on the Highland Rim. So if you care about clean water, you got to care about this. So I've been talking to the Cumberland River Compact. That is a fine organization. They have a great director. I'm hoping that they'll take a real strong interest in working on this project. And then the Trust for Public Land does not have a Nashville office. I wish they did. So I'm talking to them. You know, we just talked this morning to the Nashville Parks Foundation, which is a very effective group, and just reaching out to as many groups as possible and signing them up as an alliance member, a supporter of this idea as I go,
okay.
Hoping that we identify a group that's going to take leadership, because I'm just a volunteer.
We are at a critical time in Nashville's history right now, Kathleen, you know this. There's a lot of weirdness going on with the legislature trying to effectuate their will upon Nashville. And we've got a mayoral election coming up. I guess we're talking to people that are candidates.
So far, I've reached out to two of the candidates only. Mm-hmm. One of them attended an event and you know, heard the pitch and got exposed to the idea. I have not reached out to the other top candidates, and probably will wait until right after the filing deadline. It's
okay.
May 15th.
Okay.
But if anyone out there wants to help, ask the mayoral candidate if they will work to conserve the Nashville's Highland Rim Forest.
We talked earlier about the different planning documents that, you know, that provide a logical foundation for this idea that you've got here. One of those is Nashville Play, which is the Parks and Recreation Plan for Nashville. Is the City Parks and Recreation Agency involved, or do they know about this? Are they thinking about it?
They're just beginning. You know, okay. I started in January just with an idea.
Okay.
It took me 2 weeks to write up a position paper and a case statement. And then we just had our first really launch party last week,
okay.
And invited them. And we had the assistant director of planning, and I'm meeting with him tomorrow to further follow up. Not planning, the parks department,
right.
Assistant Tim Nage.
Okay.
So I'll be seeing him tomorrow, and he seemed enthusiastic. But, you know, one of the interesting things in Plan to Play is the city parks department, like most parks department you've ever probably heard from, they don't have enough money to staff what they got. They're reluctant to take on more. That is just human nature, and it especially is true if you are underfunded and overworked, which I know is probably the case. The good thing about this, it won't take extra maintenance money once lands are secured. Because if we secure fee simple land, they're going to be adjacent to existing staffed parks.
Right.
And hopefully give the parks a better shot of having defensible boundaries and keeping out exotic invasives and protecting their park and controlling access and all those things. Where it's not public land or fee simple land, it'll be privately owned and managed. So it shouldn't be too scary for the Parks Department because it's not more for them to manage. Actually, it should be a help. However, in that plan to play, there's a little provision in there that compares Nashville's budget to other cities, you know, that they name. And most cities keep a good portion of their revenue from programs. And that can get sizable, and Nashville does not. So I think as we go, if we find that this is, I mean, I think we ought to marry with parks and try to help get that accomplished also, is make sure our parks are well-funded. It's what gives our life, you know, joy, you know, to have a great park system.
You know, as Nashville has grown over the last 25, 30 years, we've had several mayors who have been really great park advocates. I think about Carl Dean and the hundreds and hundreds of acres of parkland, if not thousands of acres of parkland that were acquired during his tenure.
And 40 miles of Greenway.
Sure.
Trail.
Yeah. So this is yet another effort that needs to be made.
Yes, and right now, I wish I'd started it when our current mayor was just starting out. You know, I wish somebody was working on it years ago.
Right.
There are a couple of things about that. Right now, our opportunity is there's a climate resiliency plan that's coming out. And the more I learn about these trees and this forest, the more I know it's crucial for our future because our city's going to continue to heat up just like the rest of the world. And forests, of course, keep you from having worse droughts, worse forest fires. And they keep the waters clean and more abundant because they act like a sponge and hold water. And so there's all those benefits. But for climate, the climate crisis, you know, it's crucial. It's crucial to keep these trees because it's a big carbon sink and we need to keep the carbon in the ground. And the way to do that is put conservation on easements and protect those forests as much as we can. So there's an opportunity, I think, with this mayor to get in the climate resiliency plan. And then there's an opportunity to get in the parks operating budget with some hopefully it would be nice to get some funding for a land acquisition project that I must mention, which is out in West Mead. We'd like to have West Mead be our pilot project. There's a corridor that connects a waterfall to a cave with land that's zoned and protected and restricted as natural forest in a SP. And so it can't be developed unless you get approval of the full council. And it's about 350 acres, and it's basically across Highway 100. From Warner Park.
Right, yeah. So if you're going out highway, if you're going west on Highway 100 and the Warner Parks would be on your left, on the right side of the road, there's also some of the Warner Park there, which was the recently acquired land of the H.G. Hill estate. That's some beautiful old forest there.
Well, that's exactly
never been timbered.
In this neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so there's 20 acres that separates a public waterfall from 350 acres that's in what's called an SP. And then we bought a little cave out there that has salamander, and you can crawl in it.
When you say SP, what are you talking about?
I think it's called special provision or something.
Okay,
special,
so that's a zoning category.
It is.
And in this case,
it's a good one because it can't be modified without the full vote of the council and the planning commission first and then the full vote of the council.
Right,
and
right.
The reason it's there is the neighborhood came together and said, this forest is too important. Can we cluster your development at one end of the property? And that's what happened. And so Lakes of Bellevue has an SP on it. And there's a couple of other properties out there.
So this would be
a good first
step, sure enough.
And 19.5 acres are on the market for I think 1.4 million or something. And there's a little local committee working on it, but you know, it's going to take a lot of work to get it secured. And it's not at great risk right now because I believe it's undevelopable. The owner doesn't have access.
Right.
But anyway, that's something we're...
Well, you know, one thing is, which you know to be true, is that there is state money, too, that could be made available for this type of acquisition. And the state seems to have the money to do this sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. So, but the locality is going to have to ask for it, I would say.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, there's two natural areas that are state designated in the corridor. Beeman's a state natural area, and so is Radnor.
Okay.
And so, you know, that we may could get the funding from that, you know, from that state source that you and I worked on years ago.
Right, right.
And in fact, Oak Hill and... you know, might be a possible help too. There's several
the city of Oak Hill.
Right. There's several different funding opportunities. And there's private grants. But just finding the right group who's going to go after it, you know, Mark, you and I may be starting that.
Well, Kathleen, I think, you know, I have as a lawyer, incorporated several not-for-profit organizations that you've been involved with, so maybe I've retired.
We could do
my, my license is retired now, but it could get done. Well, this is exciting to learn about, and I would encourage listeners to stay tuned on this topic. So, if a listener is interested in this, wanting to know more, wanting to get on a mailing list, what should they do?
Text me. My number is 615-838-3111.
Okay.
And right now we're affiliated with a group I'm on the board of called the, SPC. Hold on a minute. Southern Conservation Partners, SCP.
Southern Conservation Partners. Okay.
Yeah. So if you Google that, you can find our website, and there's a way to make a donation if you want to.
Okay.
There it's just a loose group of former executive directors of land trusts.
Okay, so that if you go onto that website, will there be like a particular page for this
there
project?
There is.
Okay.
It doesn't have very much information on it yet,
okay.
But it will.
Okay.
And that's a good way to find us too.
All right, excellent. Well, Kathleen, thank you so much for coming by and sharing what you're doing. I have to tell you, I know the energy that you have to be involved with things, I know if you set your mind to it, you'll make progress.
Well, thanks, Mark. I wish I was 30 years younger. I'm directing an organization, but I found the website.
Okay.
Address. It's called the organization's called Southern Conservation Partners. The website is conservationsouth.org.
Okay.
And you can get a little more information there. And then my phone number is 615-838-3111. I'm hoping you'll be part of the committee. I'm gonna get you out my petition in just a minute.
Kathleen, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you
All
so
right.
much, Mark.